Welcome to the Stand Up for Migrants podcast from the UN Human Rights Office, which brings you inspiring projects that help change the narrative on migration towards one of hope, inclusion, and a larger us. In Geneva, Nikhil Masilamani and Nishani Jayamaha wanted to bring food from different geographies to a local audience in Geneva, and at the same time, connect local migrant chefs with customers. They started Nix Foodo, which empowers migrant women to make a living from their passion for cooking. People in Geneva can order food from the chefs online. In this episode, we are joined by Nikhil and Nishani, along with two chefs working with them, Safa Garbi from Tunisia and Naila Saman from Pakistan, to talk about how food helps bring people together at the local level, no matter where we come from. After all, it's at the local level where we have some of the most powerful potential to change the narrative on migration. Because it's in our neighborhoods that we can meet individual people, exchange stories, and understand that we have more in common than what divides us. I'm your host, Christina McGilvery. Welcome to the Stand Up for Migrants podcast. Thank you all for joining us on the Stand Up for Migrants podcast. We're so excited to hear more about how you work with food and the business, Nix Foodo, that you've set up, and your own stories. Nikhil and Nishani, what was the idea for the main idea for starting Nix Foodo?
When I came from Sri Lanka to Geneva, I missed the food culture that I had in Sri Lanka. We have like a variety of cultures because we're also a little island that has these trade routes from Middle East to Asia to all over the world, right? And as a migrant, I also felt that I found it very difficult not being a native French speaker. I could manage a little bit of French, but when I came to Geneva, it was very hard. I struggled to communicate well and understand. And I think that was a part of trying to start the business also, was how do we share this culture. And there's another culture that we have in Sri Lanka, is that we know which auntie to go to when I want a particular type of cuisine. So if I had the biryani, I know which auntie to go for the biryani. for the Sri Lankan food, like string hoppers or the thosa or wherever, I know which auntie to go for that.
But it was all an undercurrent. So a Sri Lankan lady was selling only to Sri Lankans, to the whole Sri Lankan network in Geneva, or an Indian was selling the Indian food like dosa, sambar, idli, the typical South Indian food, which I love. And that's kind of my go-to. But we'd only us enjoy it. And I know, and you confirm it, that, you know, we would all love it if we were given the opportunity to try it. And so that's where a bit we were thinking this is a good business opportunity as well as a great cultural sharing opportunity.
I wanted to also share this more widely and open it up and have the experience of what I can eat also to be shared with others. And that cultural experience and sharing of that cultural experience through the food. It's not just eating food or, you know, cooking the food. It's sharing that experience as well.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, informally, like you would discover through a network, but you wanted to help other people through the business. Maybe one, home chefs be able to access those customers, and also folks in Geneva to be able to understand that sort of underground network of who to go to get the best of what cuisine.
And experience this amazing, you know, variety that's in this city. And it's also, how do you share culture through food, right? Yeah. It's another conversation around the table when you are eating food. I talked about, you know, the biryani in Sri Lanka. We have the same thing in Sri Lanka, but it's slightly different because of the spices or the way you cook it or what ingredients go into it. And of course, the love that goes into it.
Yeah. How do you think food helps us bring, come together and remind us we have more in common than what divides us?
Yeah, I think the first thing when people talk about a country is the first thing comes up is food.
Food,
right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Sri Lankan food. Oh my gosh, I tried that kottu roti or the hoppers or, you know, a dish that is quite specific, or they've tried it in the country that they visited or in a friend's home. And that's the other thing. Most of the time you have all these people all over the world, migrants who are there, who've gone to different countries and they say, oh, I tried this food in a friend's place and it was amazing. And that's what you start your conversation as when you introduce yourself as I'm from Sri Lanka or I'm from Tunisia or I'm from Pakistan. And that's that conversation starter. And it breaks down the fact that it's a great conversation starter to open and talk about different cultures and experience different cultures. And also that we have something similar. I mean, we think our specific thing is our dish is this. This is our dish, but it's actually all over the world. The biryani, the samosa, the ravioli, the empanada. All these dishes have very similar origins, but they've got the different ingredients. It's because of the space where you are from. You know, Mexico will have something different in there. Sri Lanka or Pakistan or Tunisia will have something different in their empanada, for example, or a samosa. But it's that same idea. And then you kind of start breaking down these, really, it's my dish, it's our dish to... Well, it's everyone's dish, but we've changed according to how we or where we come from.
Lots of different cultures use the same basic ingredients.
Yeah.
But a bit like humans, we're all basically the same. The only thing that changes is maybe our skin color and our culture. So in that respect, for food, it's the ingredients, the little sprinkle of cardamom or of turmeric. And that's really what gives that different flavor and color. A bit like us humans, you know, our different shades and our different accents and our languages make us different. So we are very similar as the food that we cook is, but just the little things that we add and the little differences in the way we cook it because of our culture and where our geography, I think more geography, that changes and shapes the food. So I feel like we need to go back to the fact that the bases are all exactly the same. And what makes it different is the what is beautiful.
Safa, can you tell me about your own personal story? Where have you come from? How did you come to Geneva? How did you start cooking?
I am from Tunisia. I'm Safa. I came with my husband in 2016.
I start cooking since I am a child, since 5 years.
What did you learn to cook when you were 5 years old in Tunisia? What's the cuisine? What ingredients do you use?
First thing I learned to cook in Tunisia is couscous.
Yes, everybody loves couscous.
Yeah, we use everything like vegetables, like meat, like fish, everything, especially spices. Especially, where do I come from? I come from the Cabon, where we do all the harissa and everything spicy and hot.
Ah, yeah. So lots of harissa, very spicy, lots of vegetables, couscous. Oh, that sounds yummy. What does cooking mean to you? What does it mean for you emotionally?
Love, affection, creation, inspiration, and given to other people. Given from ourselves. It's not only food to satisfy our famine. No, no. it's given something we love.
Naila, can you tell me, where are you from?
My name is Naila. I am from Pakistan. And I have been living here in Geneva since 2011.
Where, may I ask, where in Pakistan are you from?
From origin, Lahore, Punjab. And Lahore is famous for food all over the world. And, we really fond of eating.
Very fond of eating in Lahore.
The Lahoris are always known for eating. There are lots of street food and all. So we are known as a good eaters.
What kind of food? What kind of food is in Lahore? Is it very lots of meat?
Every sorts of meat, like chicken, fish, or the red meat. They are not very fond of vegetables.
And do you have a favorite ingredient to work with? What do you like to work with?
I am very fond of spicy and salty foods. So every time when I want to cook, it's a salty food. So lots of spices, lots of ingredients. So yeah, the salty foods.
And what about, what does cooking mean to you?
I started to find a job about in 2017, and since last year when I joined Nixfudo, I really don't find anything. The problem was I was not very confident. The problem was I wear a hijab. I really appreciate this platform that they don't really mean it. They need just my work. They just need me, who I am or how I do it. They really don't want. So I can bring my children with me in the kitchen and I cook. I am very comfortable. I forget to my home. I feel like home here. So for me, it's such a blessing.
It sounds like when you were looking for other jobs, you could only bring part of yourself. You had to fit into this external mold. You couldn't bring your kids, you know, things like that. But here, you can just be your full person of who you are. You don't have to be inauthentic in some way. Besides, take the chili level down.
That, of course, yes.
I'd love to hear from Safa and Naila, how they, Safa, maybe, do you mind if we start with you? How do you think food brings people together across borders? How does it help maybe you connect with folks from different parts of the world?
I think that food for me is a celebration. So it's an opportunity to be together, to share and to eat and to exchange gossips about everything in the world, not only food, maybe eaten. It's why they are speaking about other things, discussing about other things.
And Naila, how do you think food helps bring people together across different countries and cultures?
Traditionally, I was very... the girls are very reserved in Pakistan. We don't, when there is a gathering, separate gathering, men's are the other side and the women's are the other. Yeah. So now I can sit with Nikhil very comfortably. It's the food who bring me to connect with peoples.
At Nixfudo, you include a bio of the chef. Is my memory correct? Like a picture of the chef and a bit about the chef so that when customers order, they know this isn't some anonymous kitchen in the back, that there's a real individual in person and their sort of love going into the cooking and cuisine. Well, why did you start to do that? What was the decision like for doing that?
Yeah, well, it was exactly like the thing that we felt was lacking is when you go into a nice restaurant in Geneva, again, you pay an arm and a leg, you know, you have had no personalized touch. You don't know who's cooked for you, unless the name of the chef is the name of the restaurant. And then we're talking of even
steeper
prices, yeah. Exactly. And so I just felt that, you know, when Safa or Naila or another chef is cooking, it'd be nice to share who it is that cooked for them, especially that it's been made with so much love and attention. And to have that the client have this personalized experience that it's been cooked almost for them.
That's really nice. And it also, it puts a face. It's a real person, like you said.
And we used to do this in the form of a postcard. So you would get it and it was like a little postcard that came from, for example, Tunisia or Pakistan. And with their picture and a little bio and a chef tip.
At UN Human Rights, when we think about how to create a more positive narrative on migration, we understand that some of the most powerful potential is at the local level. Because at the local level, we can come to meet, know, and share food with individual people. And it's at the local level where we can come to know someone over food, to come to know someone at the library or in the park or at school, or a faith-based center. And at this individual level, we can realize that we have much, much more in common than anything we believe might divide us. We have stories and values that unite us. With what you're talking about, it's really individualizing personal stories and people and bringing their food, just like Safa and Naila, a bit of them, and that wonderful culture and cuisine and their own individual stories to the city.
And into your home, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And into your home. It's about creating that personal connection. And I'm wondering for our listeners, if there's one piece of advice you would give on helping us all understand that food can bring us together in their own daily lives, that food helps us remember we have more in common than what divides us. If you are Geneva-based, that would be to call Nix Fudo. But for those not lucky enough to be able to do that, what is one way in their own daily lives that they can incorporate some of what we've talked about?
I would say get out of your comfort zone and go check out what's out there, because we tend to go to the same pizza place or pasta place or, you know, our usual restaurants. And we all do that, right? But go out of the way. Try some of these pop-up restaurants or food trucks or even in your own network.
Within your local supermarket, because you're so used to getting the usual carrots and cucumber and your meats. But if you just look next to the carrots and cucumbers, you might see the manioc, or you might see the green plantain, which is now there. And you're like, ooh, you know, what is this? And or the panais, like a local turnip here in Geneva. And, you know, buying it. And maybe Googling and seeing what you can do with it. Just something that you can maybe do when you're going to your local supermarket.
I don't find words in English, but what can I say for who is listening to us? Come to Nix Fudo and taste our tasty foods. Encourage us.
I love that. I love that.
If our audience wants to order from Nick's Fudo. What's the contact information? Where can they go to learn more or order?
Go to our website. So nicksfudo.ch, FUDO.ch. And I think everything is there. And of course, they can quite happily contact us on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on WhatsApp.
Thank you all so much. I just really appreciate it. I really appreciate the conversation. Do you have an inspiring local project or story to share that helps change the narrative on migration? We would love to hear from you on Facebook or Twitter. To learn more about some of the strategies we discussed on today's podcast, you can consult our online toolbox on narrative change on migration. The Stand Up for Migrants podcast is produced by the UN Human Rights Office.